You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, Small Screen Heroes.
To Small Screen Heroes. We're back. I am your host with the most batch. Joined with me is Jackie Boy. What's going on, Jackie?
Hey, what's up, man?
Or should I say, hey, gosh, Jack, do you want to do a commentary for Rick and Morty again?
I guess that'd be fine, Morty. We could probably do that. We'll just have to do it right now.
What if we just did like an hour of fucking that?
I would want to practice one first, so maybe in the future.
Fuck it, we'll do it live. So we did the first episode of the third season of Rick and Morty as a commentary, and it went over really well. Got a lot of positive feedback for it, so know that the show is back in full swing. We're going to do episodes 3 and 4, because fuck episode 2.
Yeah, even though it was good and everybody should watch it, but it's just a time constraint, so fucking work.
So this week we will be doing Pickle Rick. And what was name of the episode?
Yeah, it was like the Verminators Part 3 or something.
Yes. Because Verminators 1 was... What season was Verminators 1?
Oh, well, that's the joke. There was no Verminators 1.
Oh, really? I thought it was, because, again, I haven't watched the first 2 seasons yet, so I'm just starting at season 3 and working my way back.
Yeah. No. There was no Verminators 1. This was a whole... This is a whole new thing just for this episode.
So. Oh, nice. That even actually makes it funnier. Okay, yeah. We'll talk about that when we get to that episode. So, as always, this is a commentary track. So, when we hit the tone, feel free to hit play and listen to Jack and I talk over the next 2 episodes. You can listen to a binge commentary before. You know what we do around here, goddamn.
I would think so.
Yeah. So, on 3 and a 2 and a 1, here comes episode 3, Pickle Rick.
All right, so this is probably, I mean, you know, obviously this season was super hyped. We did the commentary when the first episode dropped, and there was a trailer not too far out. Well, actually, it was a trailer. What was it, June, I think, finally popped up? One of the first things that people pulled out of the trailer was Pickle Rick. So you had to think that the Pickle Rick episode was going to be pretty fucking good. And it delivers, man. I love this episode.
I love the whole premise is that Rick turns himself into a pickle just to get out of going to group therapy.
Yeah, like there's no other reason for it. He's just like, turn myself into a pickle, Morty.
And he's so happy about it.
He really is. So the thing that I love probably most about Rick and Morty is it's hilarious. It's consistently hilarious. But there's always this, like, thread of logic to it, right?
Where there
is. It doesn't make sense, but it kind of does if you just, like, follow what they're going with, you know? So, like, this episode's a good example. Because there's something coming up that is so fucking brilliant. And so stupid. I can't even believe they did it.
how many times have you watched this episode? Because I feel this really is a show that the more times you watch an episode, the more stuff you'll catch, like the Easter eggs, the background, and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Like, all the new stuff in this intro is pretty fucking funny. There's a box full of Plumbuses right there on sale.
Yeah.
Which I have, actually. I have a Plumbus.
Nice.
It's not on my desk anymore, but it's somewhere. Yeah, so you know, too, that the whole premise here was just like, hey, you know what would be funny? His name's Rick. What if we turned him into a pickle so he could use Pickle Rick? And that's it.
How drunk was Dan Harmon when he actually came up with that premise?
I don't know, man. So I would imagine you've seen some of the YouTube videos and stuff. These two fucking guys, Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, basically they just go to a sound studio... And they just drink, and they record this shit. And somehow there's a show out of it.
Isn't that what we're doing with the binge animated series?
Look, man, don't reveal all our secrets, all right? Jesus.
Yeah. So when did the divorce happen? When did the okay? I missed that.
Batch, still there?
What?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded like you had a bus drive through your room or something.
Oh, that's what happens. Yeah, shit's going down in Ontario today.
So you said the divorce. Pretty much the first episode. The way that that episode ends is like, you know, Rick's just like, I removed your dad. You want to know why, Morty? Because he crossed me. I got rid of him and the government, Morty. It's like, what are you talking about? I love how this is a serious conversation, too. She's just... She's like, you really need to come to therapy here, you know? Why is
there a syringe? The syringe.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
Of course it's a Rube Goldberg machine that's actually keeping it in place.
Of course. Because what else would be able to turn him back? But the real question is, how did he turn himself into the pickle and get on this table in the first place?
Yeah, because there's no device, there's no machine.
Right.
Well, what are you doing, Beth? You don't need to be doing that. Can't argue with that. Hey, be careful with that.
But okay, so here's a good example of something. That little Rube Goldberg thing, right?
Yeah.
The kind of attention to detail that they have in this show. Like, they don't give a fuck about these cupboards or anything else.
No.
But there is attention paid to how that Rube Goldberg machine works. It's got the timer. You can see the wires connected to it. You can see the scissor that would cut the string.
The fucking cat.
Oh, this is fucking great. There you go. That's Fat Sadie. My cat Sadie. That's her. She was fat and more stupid than she already is. See, Fat Sadie knocked Pickle Rick. Yeah, there it is.
How long do you think till they actually come out with a Pickle Rick?
Oh, I've seen people 3D print them already.
Yeah.
Amazing. I need one. Absolutely need one.
They'll charge like $80 at Comic-Con next year for them.
Of course. Of course. Now, one thing I'm excited for with the Rhode Island Comic-Con is Justin Roiland's actually coming to it.
Nice.
They just announced him. Well, they announced him a while ago, but today they announced Paul Bettany, which is pretty cool.
We need Sounders.
Yeah, no shit.
Who is Rick talking to? He's just monologuing at this point.
It's a good question since he doesn't believe in God. That one episode where he's floating away and he's just like, oh, I guess this is how it ends. I'm okay with this. Yeah, this is how I go. All right, this will be fine. And then like something engages. He's like, well, I'm not okay with this. I am not okay with this. Fuck you, God. Ah! This is so fucking like stupid brilliant.
And this is where I went in this episode, like, what the fuck am I watching? And why am I loving this so much?
Also major Beetlejuice vibes from this.
Oh, me. Absolutely. Yeah.
This is fucking funny. Like, this shit. His little like scream right here.
I wonder what cockroach brains actually do taste like.
That's all you have to do. If you ever find yourself in a tough situation and you need to, you know, you have no arms, no legs.
Yes. And you're the size of a pickle.
Yeah, just crack open something's skull, stick your tongue on its brain, and you can control it.
Remember that for next year's Lollapalooza. Now, this therapist, what family therapy and poop eating fetish?
Yeah, yeah, it says it on the door. Chorophagia recovery.
Yes.
Sir, how long have you all been eating your poop? The poster, it just had a guy eating a hot dog and it said courage.
And I love it. Susan Sarandon is the voice of the therapist, too.
Yeah. She's been popping up in a lot of stuff. I saw that she's on Ray Donovan this season.
Yeah. Oh,
she must owe some back taxes or something. Grandpa turned himself
into a girl. I like to think she has a good sense of humor.
She's a huge pothead. I think she was on Marc Maron talking about it a couple of months back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd have to be. She's from... You know, I always know her from Rocky Horror first.
But. Yeah.
sure she's done Oscar work, of course, but.
Now, I read a theory for Rick and Morty that Rick and Morty are the same person.
Yep, I've seen that before.
Where do you stand on this theory? That Rick is secretly training Morty to become Rick?
I don't love it just because obviously it's on the table because, you know, this is a multiverse comedy, so there are infinite universes that would have that be true.
Yeah, so technically there would, in one world, there would be a world where Rick becomes Morty, or Morty becomes Rick.
Right. However, for the C-137 Rick and Morty, I hope that's not the case. I just kind of like that their grandson and, grandfather, as fucked up as they are. This is so fucked up.
It's, again, another Rube Goldberg machine.
Like, think about how much work he had to go through to create the machine instead of just putting his arms and legs together.
Well, obviously, this makes much more sense in the moment.
Of course.
Best fight scene ever. I'm waiting for this to be a level in a Rick and Morty game.
Oh, man.
Make it like a 2D side-scroller.
Oh, dude. All right, so quick GameCast aside. What kind of fucking game would you want to see out of Rick and Morty?
It's every type of game. It's a Telltale game. It's a 2D, like, Final Fight beat 'em up. Put a bit of Rock Band in there at one point.
Dude, I would love a Rick and Morty game modeled after Mass Effect.
Yes.
How fucking sick would that be?
Well, it would have to have the dialogue trees.
For sure. and if you don't put stats into personality, every response is just, I'm going to go take a shit.
Yep. Or that's an option for every single dialogue, no matter what the entire game.
So I dabble in animated shows. There aren't a ton that grab my attention. I find that like sometimes they're stuck in like the idea that they're animated, you know? Like trying to think of a good example.
The Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah. So like the whole joke is that they've been around forever and that they've been animated. It's not necessarily that it's like Conan O'Brien levels of funny anymore, you know, it's just kind of it's just always existed and it's always gonna exist.
So many dead rats.
Really are. But, like, for me, this is the first animated show I've watched since South Park that I think if they made it live action, it wouldn't change anything.
Well, they did that one. You saw the fan film. I don't know if I sent you the link of it.
For this?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, technically, it was a Johnny Bravo fan film, but then Rick and Morty just show up.
Yeah.
And then it goes totally meta about fan films. Nice. And the people they cast as Rick and Morty were perfect.
That's awesome.
My category is Evanelli.
Fuck, I need a Pickle Rick action figure.
Oh.
It's like a baby Groot. I need a life-size baby Groot.
So... where the fuck is this in the town where Rick and Morty lives? Because it was the same sewage. Is this an embassy of some kind? Is it a...
That's a great question.
I love that joke.
One of my favorite things about Rick and Morty too is like some of the jokes are so fucking weird. Like, was it the first episode of this season when Rick decides he's going to destroy the race of Krombacher and Michael, and he does it by just devaluing their money.
Yes.
So he creates a complete, like, civil war with their entire planet just by changing the value of a dollar to zero. It's really fucked up and funny. He crawls from bowls of cold soup to steal the dreams of
wasteful children. Total Die Hard reference.
Where did he get the other pickle? Oh, shit.
And the amount of time it would create to take to create these traps.
Right.
I love this laser.
Sending explosion. What is he making this shit out of?
So I love the gun. The gun is a one and done. You gotta change the battery after each time you fire.
It's so violent.
But he only has two batteries in the fucking pick.
Right.
Here we go.
Did you watch the new Wet Hot American Summer?
I watched first few episodes of it.
Fun. All I could think of during this was the underground bunker in that.
Yeah. Everything is better with Danny Trejo, so.
Absolutely.
He's actually on Flash this season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good role, or?
New character. He's going to be a good guy. He's going to be the father of Gypsy. Of course it's anti-pickle serum. My kids, either death and suck on
unbaked bases. They're just angry at divorcing their father. Shit. It's funny how it all just boils back down to, like, there's always, like, a pretty decent callback to whatever the original whatever the original conflict of the episode is.
Don't look through the book, Morty. No good can come of it.
What the fuck is on the wall behind Beth?
I never noticed. It's better than making your problems other
people's problems. What's his name in this? Falcon or something?
Yeah, the Falcon.
Yeah.
I got a feeling we'll see him again.
I hope so. It's pretty awesome.
Fucking Van Damme splits. And the way that Rick just kind of patches himself up too was brilliant.
Yeah.
So the science of the yellow mustard to kill bacteria. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's fucking funny. Every fucking 80s action movie cliche in the book.
Exactly. Is it done? Jaguar? That sounds like Chris Parnell as the voice of the bad guy as well.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who that was. You know who else it sounds like, though, is Richard E. Grant?
Yeah, I can see that.
He's on the brain at the moment because I've been listening to this Game of Thrones retrospective podcast. I'd forgotten that he popped up for a couple episodes. Is the helicopter here?
Rule number one, always kill the henchman on your way out.
Yeah, always. Hey, what are you doing? I'm right here! A cigarette-smoking pickle.
Yep. Again, where is this in town?
Great question. So ridiculous. So one of the things I really like from the episode before this one, where it's all the Mad Max stuff, is that they actually, that universe, I don't know if you realize this, that's the universe from Rick Potion number 9. where all of the Cronenbergs take over with the love potion, and they have to just, like, leave that reality to go to a similar one, and they fucking murder the Rick and Morty there and bury him in the backyard.
Jaguar.
That's what I was talking about before. That's that, like, you know, loyalty to the fans who are paying attention to this shit.
Mm-hmm.
They really kind of map out their jokes and where they're going to go, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Added value, added laughs.
I love that at this point in the episode, the therapy is actually working and they're actually working together on this thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Rick comes in and it all goes to shit.
Yep. Yep. Everybody's totally fine with it.
Yep. Nobody's phased whatsoever.
Yeah, thank you. You don't still happen to have that syringe in your purse?
Work your shit out.
Right, right. Now, I love how his fucking outfit is pieced together. He's got, like, mostly remnants of bones and flesh from rats, but he also has, like, one mechanical joint on his leg.
Yes.
Oh, it's fucking great.
So I wouldn't have to come here.
There's an episode in the first season where Rick tells Morty to shoot this bug creature, and he's like, just do it, Morty! They're just robots! Don't worry about it! And Morty shoots him, and it turns out he's, like, organic. And he's just like, Jesus Christ, Rick! I didn't realize that he was a real person! You said it was a robot! And Rick just goes... It was a figure of speech, Morty! He's a bureaucrat! I don't respect them!
Fucking brilliant.
Alright, so what have you seen from the series before this?
I've really only gone with the third season. I actually haven't had time to do, like, the first two.
Cool. So, one of the things that you're going to like more about some of the jokes in these episodes, like I was saying, is that, like, that loyalty throughput, right? So, so when you... let's see here. Season one is got some amazing episodes. Season two, you know, just ups the ante. There's just a lot of good stuff in here. But again, I love how at least every episode has a nice thematic throughput. Even if it doesn't, like, 100% make sense, it still somehow ties up.
Some people are okay going to work, and some people... Well, some people would.
It's funny the amount of board games and stuff like that that are starting to come out with, like, Rick and Morty based. That there's a card game coming out.
Yeah, I have a feeling by the end of this season, this show is going to reach, like, you know, just absolute fucking indoctrination in pop culture. Because I know it's popular now, but it seems like everybody's on board now all of a sudden.
Yeah. Do we know how many episodes this season is?
The last two seasons, I think, were 11 episodes, 10 and 11 episodes, something like that. So I wouldn't expect many more than that.
I like that. I would not want this to be a show like this, like 30 episodes a season.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and if you ever see them in interviews too, they spend a lot of time focused on trying to make sure that these episodes are funny and that the stories make sense.
Uh-huh.
So they really, you know, it took them 2 years to make this season. So it's not like they're fucking around, you know?
Just laying there, sitting there naked. The look on Summer's face.
He's just naked. Yep. Nobody's referencing the fact that he doesn't have pants on.
Nope.
Probably for the best.
I liked her. So.
Fucking show me.
Oh, God.
So that was episode 3. Rating on this episode, my friend?
Ooh.
It's going to be a 10.
It's a solid 8. It's a solid 8. There are some episodes in this series, as you go through it, you're going to, dude, Interdimensional Cable Part 1, oh my god. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a jokes per minute episode? That one is fucking, well, actually, you haven't seen this shit.
No.
Well, let's stick to season 3, maybe we'll do Interdimensional Cable another time.
Do they normally do post-credit scenes?
Yeah, they always have post-credit on each episode.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yep.
Oh, this is from the opening. There you go.
Yep.
Nice.
Shit.
Just nod and flies away. That's awesome.
Nice. All right. Episode 4?
Episode 4, my friend. Let's keep this train rolling.
Alright, so episode 4.
Okay, Vindicators 3, The Return of World Ender is the name of this episode. And as you were saying, there was no Vindicators 1 and 2?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all. So.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit play.
All right.
And we're off.
Okay, so here's a prime example. These worm things...
Yeah,
this will definitely come back in another episode.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just the way that they do it, you know. Also, this is the second episode where he's been working on that helmet right there.
Yes, that's true.
So who knows what that's going to be. Oh, so you didn't get this one.
I thought it was an episode like in the first two seasons.
Okay, one of the greatest episodes in the series history. Actually, let's think about this. Every 10 episodes, he gets to choose an adventure. See, that's another thing. Like the opening, the first episode when he's talking about 97 years, Morty, 9 more seasons, 97 years, Morty, all that stuff. The first episode ends the same way. But he says, oh, 100 years, Morty, 10 seasons, or like 12 seasons, whatever. So there's an episode where Morty chooses the adventure, and Rick just fucking hates it. And, you know, you kind of see what happens, but it goes well, like it's a success.
Yeah.
So he earns the right to choose an adventure every, like, 10 adventures.
There you go.
So he chooses this. I just love how Rick doesn't give a fuck. Like,
no, zero fucks given the entire episode.
So obviously, clear parody of, you know, Guardians or Avengers or Justice League, whatever you want.
Yep.
Fucking hilarious character designs. Crocubot.
Half crocodile, half robot.
Was that
with the voice of Stephen Hawking. Noob.
Looks oddly like Mr. Poopy Butthole, but, you know, that's fine.
God damn!
So it's funny, the woman, I can't remember what her name is, but her, the way that, like, the stars look, it looks like a galaxy on her dress or whatever.
Yeah.
So one of the popular paint jobs in Forza Horizon 3 for almost every car is that exact paint job.
That's hilarious. She's voiced by Gillian Jacobs. X-Files check. Gotcha. Gillian Anderson.
Oh, no. I think this is from Community, Gillian Jacobs.
Is it?
Yeah. Gillian Anderson is X-Files.
I can see that. Yeah. And obviously that's Christian Slater.
Yeah. That actually took me the whole episode to figure out.
Let's make this 3 for 3. All right. Reminds me, do you think Mr. Robot's going to be good this season or no?
I am out on Mr. Robot, so.
I tapped out last season, but I'll check in for a few episodes this season.
Yeah, I was done at
and you guys, you know, did...
basically, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched the first season of Mr. Robot, but I was just, yeah, pretty much the moment when you said what the twist was, and then that happened,
yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah. I'm done here. I mean, I like some of what they do in terms of the hacking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
They use the correct terminology and, you know, they do the world building decent enough there. But it's just, like, it's just too much of a Fight Club remake for me to give it any of my time. So,
So I love that they weren't involved in, like, they weren't invited to the second mission. Right. So this is technically the third mission.
Right. It's the best. This is pretty fucking great. So really, this is the only way that this can go down. Because of course...
It's the only way.
Of course, yeah. Rick is... I mean, you know, spoiler alert for 5 minutes from now, but of course Rick's going to be the bad guy. He doesn't give a fuck about being here.
Yep.
Of course he'd get smashed and just turn them into fucking Saw or The Purge or whatever you want.
Oh, that was one of my favorite lines later on in this episode. Yeah. Rick, are you sawing us?
Yeah. Like, come on, I'm not a hack, Morty. So you're gonna have to do this just like in Saw.
No accounting for teeth.
And you think he's doing it out of jealousy, but not at all.
So here's one of the things that I love about a show that's put together like this.
Yeah.
They truly have a concept that allows them to do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the characters are solid, you know, they can go in interesting directions, and, you know, pretty much any episode can be anything. Case in point, Rick was a pick.
Last episode. I love the voice of the old guy too.
But, you know, case in point, Rick's a pickle last episode. Before that, they're in fucking Mad Max Fury Road. Before that,
poor Noob.
Yeah. He has a fucking prison escape from an intergalactic fucking jail cell. I mean, everything's on the table at all times. It's really kind of cool. As long as you have the right people, you know, steering the ship. Make a
little change. Oh, I totally get it. I'm
running around in a yellow t-shirt like you're not one of us. Disgrace.
The fact that they do need to bring him even though he's passed out on this fucking mission is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
All you have to do is know the difference between good and bad.
I knew instantly he was going to die the second I saw him on this episode.
Kind of needs that to be the case. Not coming.
God damn.
It's great, too, because this is all basically just video game shit.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Which is fine. I'm fine with that.
It's like a Green Lantern with a fucking ghost train.
Million ants. That's a funny idea.
Are you alright? Yes. I only bought.
Oh my god, it's so fucked up.
What's the bad guy? The World Ender?
Yes.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that is Brenda from Community.
Oh, okay.
Britta. God damn.
Oh my god, that's better.
Rick. Yeah, I gotta think, especially after this season, that there's just gonna be a shit ton of merchandise from Rick and Morty now. Oh, this is great.
Totally remind me of these little cocksuckers in Dead Space that keep killing me.
You don't say. You would have used a ghost train. The ghost train guy would have used a ghost train.
Such an asshole.
You be a pal. Grandpa left his coffee maker on the ship. You know the French press
thing yourself? Oh, snap.
I don't know what's funnier, like when Rick gets super into whatever's going on or when he just doesn't give a fuck
and becomes extra sarcastic.
Yeah.
Well, he is the world ender. Guy ends world.
Here we go.
What happened to him?
I sense fading.
Millionaires, ladies and gentlemen.
It's one thing I like about the comic too, that they are doing. Obviously, they can do a whole backstory to all these guys now.
So I haven't read the comics yet, but have you gotten through a bunch of them?
A couple of them.
So where?
It's essentially what you see here. Okay. Original stories.
Cool. So they basically just each one plays as an extended or just an episode unto itself.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's really cool. I gotta get to those at some point. That'll be like a weekend thing.
Oh yeah, you can just power through them. Oops, forgot his gun. And of course, the bad guy is Rick. Hammered Rick. And he has no memory.
No, that's fantastic.
Well, so drunk you don't remember doing it? That's something obvious to you?
Look, I'm a little more complex than you guys.
Yeah, I definitely think he's not burping as much as like I've seen like in previous kind of stuff anytime I've looked at like Rick and Morty clips.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. So are you familiar with the whole history of where Rick and Morty came from?
No, fill me in.
So Justin Roiland was, I don't know if he was a comedian or a writer or what, but he basically, he animated this short series called House of Cosby's, which is
My God, I loved House of Cosby's.
Okay, yeah, so for those who don't know, it's still on YouTube, but House of Cosby's is, it's ridiculous sitcom premise in cartoon
form. Show makes so much more sense now that I know that he's the guy that created it.
Yeah. So... the premise is some kid goes to a Bill Cosby concert, gets one of his fucking hairs, and clones him in a lab. And he makes like five or six of them, and he just lives in a House of Cosbys. So after he made a couple episodes, Bill Cosby's legal team decided to go after him. And
said, say, hey, stop that.
Exactly. Cease and desist. So he said, fuck, okay. So when House of Cosbys stopped being a thing, he decided to make The Adventures of Doc and Marty. With, you know, regular spelled Doc, but Marty was M-H-A-R-T-I. And again, that was like a little too close, but he decided to just change the character names and call it Rick and Morty. And that's where the idea for all this came from. And then the rest is kind of history. 5 years ago, they kind of signed up and, you know, now we're three seasons deep and it's one of the most popular animated shows on TV.
So. It's kind of bullshit that word came out this week that Adult Swim won't let free streaming anymore on the website for Rick and Morty.
Oh, that sucks. Unless you know AMG, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course it's a bit.
Then we'll deal with the two of you.
The two of us? I hope you're proud of yourself.
I kind of am.
I would have been if I had. Find evil wherever it hides. But they don't.
Love the Sherlock Holmes hat in this one.
Never hear them even mentioned. Because to fight darkness is to fight yourself.
Oh, I know this. Don't answer.
All right, so... Real quick here.
Yeah.
Let's see who we've got in the Vindicators. Well, not many left, but...
who we had Slater, in Vindicators, yeah.
Christian Slater's character. What was his name? I can't remember.
Star-Lord. Essentially, he was Star-Lord.
Okay, so he's Star-Lord. So, Binge Media, who plays Christian Slater?
PMC.
I like it. Okay. Crocubot, I'm going to go ahead and... I'm going to say Creepy209 guy. I think he'd be a good crocky bot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why. I'm just, for some reason, he's the first person that's coming to mind. So.
Who's the ant, dude?
Million ants. He has to be super logical and, like, kind of annoying. I guess I'm describing myself.
Is that a running joke that Rick gets anti-Semitic when he's drunk?
Yeah. He has to get real clear.
Just want to be real clear about this. Not anti-Semitic.
No.
Those fucking cats. Thought we cleaned up all the jingly balls. Guess not. Fucking cats. Oh well. He changed his clothes.
I love the fact that he's back in his lab. In the garage.
Yeah, like, what is that in the background that he was painting?
I have no idea. Oh, I know what it is. That shows up later in the episode. And the whole fucking death trap, he has to, they have to hit three pointers.
Yeah. All right, so one thing I did when I was younger, after I saw Monty Python and Holy Grail for the first time,
yeah,
I had to go out and get a coconut, hollow it out, and, you know, so I can have my own fucking horse. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Dude, way harder than advertised. I had no idea how difficult it was to remove everything from a coconut.
It's a pain in the ass.
I thought it was going to be like a one-shot thing. I had to fucking boil it and then try to carve the shit out, let it dry in the sun. It's like a two-day affair.
Survivor makes it look way too easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't understand how they do it without knives.
The way this whole argument just evolves,
yeah,
and escalates out of nowhere.
And again, typical Rick and Morty. Fucking
yep.
Somehow this becomes a relationship drama inside of a superhero fucking saw trap. I'm just a fan of train conductors.
You're the pile of ordinary bugs that. The timing of the joke was brilliant.
Then, of course, that's Daniels from The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
The villains, the heroes, the lines between them, my childhood. Thank you. I appreciate it, Morty. I know you were sucking the
cool. Rick just doesn't give a fuck.
Does Rick actually have an arch enemy that's as smart as him beside himself?
That's a good question.
But technically, would he be a good guy?
I don't know, man. Well, he has that one line. He's like, these people try to kill you. He's like, come on, Morty. Like 20 people try to kill me every week, but half of them I end up just getting high with.
Binge media. That's a three. What?
It's so fucked up.
He was better than you. She just loses her shit.
How does this become an argument about a miscarriage?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Is that sarcasm? I don't want you slipping away when this is over. All
come on, maybe a couple of them, but definitely not the train guy.
All of them.
Okay.
Three.
Oh no, this I loved.
This was a great joke.
I love Morty's rationale here because it's fucking yep. hilarious.
Yep.
But I like it even more than what actually happens.
Yeah. Because he is the same size.
It's nothing because he would want one more dig at us.
That's a valid point. Because you never know with Rick what he's actually going to do.
Jesus. Okay, open to second opinions.
It could be Morty.
What?
Hey, I don't know. I get drunk, I get stupid and emotional. There's no logic to it. It's like, it's possible I got so drunk, I felt like I was losing Morty to the Vindicator at the baby.
Rick and Morty could literally hop into any show and it would be brilliant.
Well, it's one of the things at Comic-Con, like the easy costume for everybody was just put on a yellow shirt and jeans and have a sign that says, looking for my Rick.
I get it. Well, Morty, I think
that'd work.
Yeah. Interpreting the moment. I am not being coy about something.
Anything. And he just remembers.
It definitely sounds like some sort of aircraft is touching down right next to your microphone.
They don't want me around, but...
Yeah.
This is pretty great. Like, how did he have enough time to do all this shit?
And that's what he was painting. They're oven mitts. Fucker. You're fucking noob noob. It's hilarious that the words they beep, the swear words they beep in the show, and others just get through.
Yeah, I usually grab the unedited ones. For watch, but
yeah, sometimes beeps are funnier when they're beeping.
Not all of us.
And then she just kills him for no reason.
Titty bean.
Galaxy's faith in the Vindicators that keeps the galaxy secure.
Yeah, feel safer already. No.
Sentient colony of ants. It was your beliefs, your beliefs. Oh, that's the best. Taught me to be a man.
When did it get so complicated?
Who knows? But we can make it simple again. You are always the
local. Nope. Fucking festival.
Now, is this a real rapper? Because I don't know who this is.
I think he is a real rapper, yeah.
Invited a bunch of people. Not bad, Drunk Rick. Not bad.
Are you ready? There's a 2-2 train, man. He's rolling down tragedy. Everybody knows Supernova fights gravity.
Rick, Supernova away. Yeah, who cares?
Except for Gearhead. Fuck that guy.
We need to keep that line as a drop for something.
Have you ever seen this show? So Gearhead will come back in another episode.
Yeah.
Shut up, Summer.
No.
I think they're at like a house party in an earlier episode. Yeah. And, Rick's trying to get Morty off of him, and he's like, oh, Morty, have you ever heard about the Great Gear Wars? Hey, Gearhead, why don't you tell him about the Great Gear Wars? And he's like, the Great Gear Wars. It was a hard time for my family. good stuff, man.
So that's episode 3, episode 4 in the books. Look for us to do more of these in the future if you guys want us to do them. Let us know. It's a job for me. Oh, the best.
Alright, good stuff, man.
Good thing. So, yes, this has been an episode of Small Screen Heroes Commentaries. As always, if you like the stuff we do at Binge Media, leave us a review on iTunes, because that helps the site.
Yep, absolutely. Reviews on iTunes, follows and likes on Twitter, Facebook, Patreon. 708-406-9546 the phone number if you want to leave a voicemail, and you can email us at admin@bingemedia.net.
Okay. Cool. So until next time, I am Batch. This is Jack, and read a goddamn book.
Peace. You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.